Well, Damon, I am glad that we were really not your second choice of help. You were just out of God's will.
That's right. Sure.
Once you got right with God and realized help, then everything came out of everything. Went well, but it is a joy to really be here, to have that time with Damon. You are very kind in your words. I count you a good friend. Just fascinated at what you do, the opportunities God provides you with so many different international groups and everything, and in the hotbed of a political climate, that you can be there as a strong believer. It has, too, been a joy to have it served and even for them to have trusted me to bring a message to the Chinese Gospel Church that have been meeting and been a part of First Baptist. That has been a joy for me to come and to share a truth from God's Word and that you were patient, even when you didn't understand my jokes. I worked on those and tried to improve over the years, but I do count it a joy to have had that privilege, because as my time is over at First Baptist on Park Street, and now Lord has provided an opportunity for me to join the staff at Rocky Mount at Franklin Heights Church. I'm going to be a campus pastor at another campus that they're going to be starting. And I appreciate your prayers, but I just see how God has worked in many ways. And a lot of it started with just my involvement in helping with the Chinese church. But it has truly been a great joy meeting with your deacons of both churches each week. Having fellowship together, and just that time of learning from each other, praying together, seeing what the Lord is doing and bringing the two churches together. I even got introduced to Duran balls, right? Isn't that what it was? Yeah, that was brought. Duran. That I introduced that to my kids. But it was just neat to see what the Lord did. And so to try to think about what to share tonight is something that I've just sort of been thinking on and developing a message on, a Bible study on. Not fully developed, but I thought I would share what I've done so far. So hopefully that will get us out by 10. But it really centered around of commitment. When my youngest daughter, Courtney, went off to James Madison, she had finished her 2 years at the community college here and went to James Madison, but she didn't last. It didn't help that she changed a major 3 days before classes began. But it just did not click for her. And she says, I want to come home. Well, I struggled with that. You made a commitment to go to school. You signed a year's lease in an apartment. You need to follow through on that commitment. Yet, if she really didn't want to be there, why waste the money for tuition if she's not going to be there to really study and do well? And so part of what had to happen was, well, if you stop, you know either you're going to stay living there and finding a job to pay for that apartment, you've got to find somebody to take your place. And so surprisingly, she really worked hard and found someone that would take over that lease. And even hell offered to pay for that first month's rent. So she moved home. Another girl moved in. And we thought everything was good. But after a month, we realized this girl says, oh, this apartment is too expensive for her. She hadn't even paid any rent yet because she had the first month free. And decides to just leave. Even though she signed a commitment. She just left. And I'm thinking, does not anybody honor a commitment anymore? And I just realized that so often with the younger generation, there is not that sense of, I'm going to honor this commitment. If this is what I said I'm going to do, I'm going to honor it. Let's just break it. You know, and so that got to thinking, well, how committed are we in things? You see now in marriages, well, I'll go into it. If it doesn't work out, I can just get a divorce. Or I'll go try this job out. Doesn't work. I'll just leave. I can sign this lease. If it doesn't work, I'll try to think up something and get out and just leave. There doesn't seem to be the seriousness in holding to a commitment. And you see, that's where this passage I want to just share with you, that's what Jesus was facing. And he was really communicating hard the cost of what is it going to take to follow him. And as Damon shared, becoming a child of the Lord, being a believer, it's a free gift. But it's a commitment not to be taken lightly. It is not something that you want to try out and see how it goes. And then think, okay, I don't need God anymore. There's some seriousness in making a commitment to the Lord. And so this passage I'm going to share with you is out of Luke chapter 9. It's also found in Matthew, but Luke does expand on it a little bit. But you see, in Luke chapter 9, there are some things that goes on before this. At the start of that chapter, Jesus sends out the disciples to go out and to share the gospel. He sends them out, tells them, you've got that power and authority to drive out demons, to cure diseases. So he said, preach the kingdom of God. And then they come back, and after that, there's that miraculous event of the feeding of the 5,000. I mean, you got to admit, that is pretty amazing. Yes, and then after that, there's Peter's confession of who Jesus is. And Jesus said, who do you say I am? And Jesus said, at that moment, well, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. And after that point, it's what's called that transfiguration, where Jesus was changed because he came into the presence of the Lord. Moses, too, and Elijah. And there, God spoke. It says in that verse 35, a voice came from the cloud saying, this is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. That's important. As a disciple, to have heard God speak. But then after that, Jesus heals a boy with an evil spirit. And then all of these miraculous things, you'd have thought things were just going great. But you know what? Pride services. And you have some disciples trying to move their way in and say, hey, Jesus, when all of this comes about, I want to be right there with you. They're trying to negotiate to be his right hand. But also, what was going on too, is they were also thinking they were going to be great and were ignoring the kids. But you know what? Jesus says, look, he took a child. Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. And then after that, they experienced some opposition. Went to a Samaritan town, and the people did not want to have anything to do with it. And then that brings us to this point that as they were walking along the road, Jesus said, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. So even though we don't know names of these people, I want to try to personalize it in just a little bit. I want you to think of that first person as called the opportunist. Okay? That is, as he says, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus' response was, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. But this person was all words. Yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm going to follow you. But Jesus sort of said, are you sure? Have you counted the cost? Do you really know what this is all about? See, I believe he was trying to, this person was trying to see, this may be an opportunity for them if I follow this person. That's why he was the opportunist. But that was a shallow commitment. Because it was made with a selfish motive. He thought Jesus was going to help him politically. But Jesus made it clear that anyone who wanted to follow him for earthly gain will be disappointed. But he also wanted to be clear too. Are you sure you know what's involved? I have no place to go home. We're going to travel. But also, I think he was alluding to, look, we just got rejected from a village. Can you handle opposition? Can you handle rejection in your commitment to me? The second person I want to say would be called the hesitator. Because Jesus initiates, say, come follow me. But his commitment was, well, wait a minute, let me go and bury my father. But Jesus' response was, let the dead bury their own dead, but go and proclaim the kingdom of God. That man received a special call from Jesus. He planned to obey, just not right now. Okay, just hold on. There's some other things that are more important. Now, in the Jewish eyes, that was a religious duty that really took precedence over anything else, to have that responsibility of your parent, to your parents. that when they die, you were there responsible to take care of them
and to bury them.
And so he was committed to the uncertainty of the future, but just not right there. But you see, this is where Jesus really laid it on the line. Because he said, you're not responsible for the dead, but for the living. As my follower, you will be responsible for those who are living. Why? Because he knew the living needed to hear about him. And he says, there's other people that can take care of the dead. That's a huge statement. To say, wait a minute, I can't do anything till I care for my parents. But Jesus was saying, it is important for you to follow me. I have known some people that have allowed their commitment, in one in particular, that have allowed their commitment to their parents who were of another faith, says, well, I don't want to become a Christian because I think that will upset them. Amen. And so they wouldn't. But here Jesus is saying, come follow me. This is more important. Now, I do believe, on just a little side note, when Jesus has a task for you, and he's calling you to do something, I believe as a family, as a marriage, he's going to call both husband and wife. I don't think the Lord would want a marriage to be split because of one feeling called and the other's not. I have seen where the other spouse has not felt like called yet to go and to serve and to do. But over time they have. But here's what's important. Jesus is number one. And if he is tugging on your heart, kind of as Damon alluded to, where you feel that impression that he is moving in your heart to come to know him, that's got to take priority. Yes. You may think, what will my girlfriend think? Or what would my mom and dad think? Or what would the people at work think if I become a Christian? That's secondary. Jesus wanted his followers to go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Proclaim that message. It is an uncompromising command. And so that leads us to that third person, that procrastinator, is who I call. Because this one, it says, I will follow you, Lord, but first, let me just go back and say goodbye to my family. He's really saying, I will not be long. I'm not looking as far into the future as that man was. I just want to run home, let mom and dad know where I'm going, and then I will come and follow you. That sounds right, doesn't it? Yeah. Jesus' response is, no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service for the kingdom of God. You know, I realize this, of putting your hand to the plow, because I've caught myself when I'm mowing the yard, and we've got a pretty good sized yard, and I look back to see if I'm doing well, and then when I go forward, I have messed up. I have gotten out of line. When you're mowing, you've got to stay focused, or else you're going to go and you're going to miss a strip. And you won't realize that strip until you've looped back around and you realize, oh, I missed that strip. You cannot look back. You've got to keep going forward.
and looking forward. Do you remember early in Luke's gospel, chapter 5? Jesus was teaching along the shore. He said to Simon, "Don't be afraid, for now on you will catch men." And he asked them to follow him. Do you know what they did? They didn't say, I'll tell you what they didn't say. "Wait a minute, we're going to have a fish fry with the fish that we've had. We've got to have a party and then we'll go." Instead, they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Then it said, Jesus said to Levi, that is Matthew, who was sitting at his tax booth, he said, "Follow me." Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. You know, when you look at that looking back, it really means looking to things behind. Gazing on things that you may leave behind. I'm afraid too many times people will make a half-hearted commitment because they're not ready to leave things behind. Let me just try it out. Let me just put one foot in this Christian thing while still keeping one foot in the world. It is important for us to know. When you feel the Lord tugging on your heart, it is all or nothing. It is accepting Him to be your Lord and Savior and following Him. And that commitment is above all else. You know, when Nancy and I got married, or actually when I proposed to her a long time ago, I didn't say, "Nancy, I love you, and I'm going to love you 360 days out of the year. But I want 5 days just to do what I want to do." Okay? You know? I didn't go into it like that. You know, I had to, all right, what about just 364 days I'll commit to you? No. It was 365, 24/7 was the commitment. And it's all in. And as we commit in our marriages and commit to our kids, we're going to be your mom and dad. That commitment is the same to the Lord. That we give Him 100% and put Him first and foremost. Jesus was really strong in this radical shift of priorities. To forego accepted family responsibilities to follow Him. And that's why it goes back to that greatest commandment. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You've got to take it all. Not just a little bit. And so my prayer for y'all, for the two churches here, that as you are following Christ, you are all in for His church to serve, to be used by Him, to do great things in this community and beyond. Don't just take this unification and just see how it goes. Okay? There may be some struggles. And you may think back, well, when we used to be our own church, we didn't have to deal with whatever. But you're making that commitment of being just one. Just like a commitment in marriage. commitment to Christ. It is, you're all in. And you're going to work through it. And I believe God's going to honor that. And He's going to bless you. And He's going to do some neat things through you. I've already seen some great blessings that have happened in your churches and on both sides, and hearts being changed. And I'm just excited to keep hearing what else God's going to do. Let me have a word of prayer. Father, I thank You for this time and just the opportunity to share. And Father, I just thank You for my dear brothers and sisters that are here. That, Father, that as they continue to seek You, that, Father, their hearts will be open to what You will have them to do. And for someone, it may mean they haven't done anything in the church yet. They're growing, they're learning about You. But it may be time for them to step up and begin serving in a bigger way. But, Father, there may be one here that have come and have enjoyed the fellowship and like what they hear about You, but have never made that commitment. Father, I pray that as You move in their hearts, that they will commit their life to You 100%. Just as Damon did. And realizing the difference that he made, it didn't eliminate all the problems. But it truly made a difference. And so, Father, I pray that if there is one, that they would make that commitment. Because this will be a group, there's great body believers to walk with You, to help You grow and learn. Father, I thank You. Just the privilege of getting to know so many here and journeying with them and furthering Your kingdom. For I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.